This is Dusty Rhodes reporting for the Education Desk. Today, I want to introduce you to Pete Carney. 5 years ago, he and a friend wrote a little textbook and got it printed up at Kinko's. Within months, it was adopted by the prestigious International Baccalaureate Program. It's now used in more than 200 schools, several colleges and universities, and it's up for adoption by the Los Angeles School District and the state of Florida. That's not bad for a guy with zero credentials in education.
Your bachelor's degree is in what?
It's in music performance.
And your master's degree is in?
In jazz performance.
You don't have a degree in education.
No, that's right.
Carney is a saxophone player, but that doesn't always pay the bills. So in 2006, he took a day job at City Colleges in Chicago, teaching Music Appreciation 101. It's the kind of class students take to fulfill some requirement and hopefully get an easy A. The existing textbook was your standard history of orchestral music, Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, and other ancient Europeans. As a musician, attuned to audience feedback, Carney could sense that the kids were not into it.
I had had that experience maybe as a performer on stage, trying to reach out to audiences to make sure they could feel the music. So for me going into the classroom, it was sort of a natural step of, wait, if you guys aren't feeling this, then I know you're not enjoying it and we're not learning anything. I think the system that I walked into was just a flat approach of teaching what's in the book.
The book presented a couple of barriers. One was its chronological approach.
Like starting in the Middle Ages, I mean, you're trying to kill people when you do that, you know? You know, I wasn't comfortable with it, and my students weren't responding to that format. It's too far back in the time machine.
But the bigger problem, Carney realized, was that nothing in the book could compete with the bottomless well of information students could access from their smartphones.
It was a discovery for me that with the evolution of Wikipedia and using the internet in general, my students, they all have access to the information that we used to sort of only have access to as a teacher. So if everybody has the same information, how do we change teaching?
It's here that many teachers opt for the simplest change possible. They say no cell phone use in class. Carney took the opposite approach.
I started with just creating worksheets. You know, I started with one exercise at a time where I found out that I could get my students to do their homework if the homework was on YouTube.
The standard textbook the class was supposed to be using provided all the music on a CD.
But nobody will listen to the CD for whatever reason. It's always been like that. But by asking them to listen to YouTube, they could access it on their phone. It almost didn't feel like homework, and they were more interested in doing it. And it was just that change in the delivery method of the homework that opened up my classroom.
Carney had students learn to identify the sounds of various instruments by finding samples of a bassoon, a viola, a Moog synthesizer, and a flange pedal online. He had them analyze pieces by Count Basie, Jimi Hendrix, Claude Debussy, Astor Piazzolla. He had them watch online videos of famous conductors presiding over rehearsals. The method changed the class from an exercise in memorization and regurgitation into something deeper.
You're asking them to participate. You're asking them to construct knowledge. You're asking them to do their homework on YouTube and listen and bring stuff back to class. Bring your observations. You know, it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way conversation.
The beauty of this method was that it worked with Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, and even the Middle Ages.
I always try and start with, there's a way for people to be curious. You know, there's a way for people to be interested in this. So how do I make that bridge to these people, to the dead white guys? There's a way, because they have tough lives too. The hard part is just the bridge. It's not the music. You can't change Beethoven. It's beautiful stuff. You just have to change the way for people to get over there, to get across to the music.
Eventually, Carney and another part-time teacher, Brian Felix, collaborated to create their own textbook called Interactive Listening. In 2011, they started marketing copies, bound at Kinko's, for $20 a piece, and soon sold enough to move production to a national printer. After taking a short course in filmmaking, Carney created an interactive iPad version that became a number one editor's pick on Apple iTunes. And, Carney says, major textbook publishers came calling with offers.
definitely had interest from the big publishers, but it was more of a, we were definitely interested in buying you out, but it didn't feel right. You know, we feel like we're doing something different, and we feel like we're you know, teachers that are doing this, and it would be sad if we quit now.
And besides, they now find themselves able to compete with those companies.
We're sort of in this approval process for the state of Florida, and that will happen in January, hopefully. It's Pete Carney and McGraw-Hill are the two candidates right now, which is pretty cool. We're kind of disrupting the textbook industry in some very small way.
But their small disruption is growing in new directions. They get requests for textbooks about academic subjects like algebra and biology because educators recognize that Carney's concept applies to more than just music.
One thing that you said to me long ago was, I think the question of our time as teachers is, how do you teach when people are surrounded by information but they are not curious about it?
And that's been my life mission, I think, since about 2006, when all of a sudden everybody had this device in their pocket that changes everything. I think it's a big moment in history. You know, learning is a personal thing. Like, you can't force somebody to learn. And I think at the beginning I was frustrated that I couldn't force my students to read this whole chapter. And I started to think, well, maybe there's a way, you know, maybe there's a way to change the system that people are open to participating, because you're listening to them also, and you're asking them to build knowledge. And I think we're just so much better at problem solving than sort of reading facts. And that's a big difference in teaching to me right now, is if you're just lecturing, you know, people may or may not pay attention, but if you can find a way to involve them, then I think you have a chance.
Has there ever been a moment when you've said, man, I wish I'd taken some education courses so I would know how to teach?
No. I did. I did take, you know, some education courses eventually. And I take an education courses kind of reaffirmed the system as it is. But if the system needs to change, you know, I felt like I had to find my own pathways for new ideas.
Carney left City Colleges in 2012 to pursue a doctoral degree at the University of Illinois.
And your PhD will be in what?
In jazz studies, jazz performance.
Still nothing to do with education?
No, not really.
You can find a link to more information about Carney's book at wuis.org. Reporting for the Education Desk, I'm Dusty Rhodes.